a good ball played in for Tony Morley. Oh, he missed it! It is! Peter Will! Villa in the lead!
Hello, Aston Villa fans. And welcome to the Villa Forever podcast. I am your host, Chad Williams. Please subscribe. Help me to the road to chaos. Make sure to give this video a thumbs up. Let's get as many likes as we can on this episode. I'm joined by my Monday show regular, Aaron Thornton, who is the host of The Football Brief. This is the AVSC Weekly Recap, your weekly dose of Aston Villa news and headlines. This is the final weekly recap of the season. Aston Villa's Champions League dream comes to an end. Aston Villa are in the Europa League next season. It finished Manchester United 2, Aston Villa 0. And once again, Aston Villa crumbled under pressure and they completely bottled it. Very disappointing performance. And it was a huge opportunity missed. And I'm still feeling about it now. Please on the show, Aaron. How are you?
Oh, Chad. Thanks for having me. I don't know. I'm doing a bit better than I was yesterday. I've sort of slept on it, but I'm still fuming, mate. I think like most Villa fans, it was just a missed opportunity and a frustrating watch. But look, you know, in the past, you've managed to get me through with your positivity and your therapy. So I'm hoping you can do the same today, mate. So yeah, I'm looking forward to the chat. How are you?
All right, apart from the results. We've been completely bottled it. And I think this season has been a big problem. When the big moments matter, we don't do very well under pressure. I mean, it was like Wembley all over again.
Couldn't have said it better myself. The first thing I've got some notes and I put down. The first thing I've got here is bottle jobs. I was fuming, mate. Like, and I know we'll touch on, you know, the refereeing decision and all of that, but first and foremost, the performance was woeful. It was woeful.
Oh, no. I mean, what the hell was that?
Like, mate, we were crap. We were honestly, we were so bad. And you touched on it then. When it comes down to the big games and the serious, you know, the times where it matters, we just don't turn up. The semi-final, the Conference League, Olympiacos bottled it. Semi-final against Palace, bottled it. Arguably, the game against Man City when they equalised last minute, bottled it.
Yeah.
And then yesterday, it's there needs to be a really, really big mentality shift within these players. And if that means they've got to move on or it means Emery's got to get into them, I don't know. But it was the manner of the performance, mate. I think to get so close and to the last three games, you know, this run that we've been on, to get there and then to just stink the place out like that, I was fuming, mate.
The most frustrating is all the results went our way. Newcastle lost to Everton. Obviously, Nottingham Forest lost to Chelsea. But we didn't do our job. We matter. I'll just say as well, massive credit to Man United. They were a far better team. We got completely dominated. A real poor team. Nothing to play for.
Yeah, I have to echo that. Fair play to Manchester United because, that was the best I've seen them play all season. But we knew that was going to happen. Like, We knew that they were going to turn up. They've got nothing to play for. It's Villa. Okay, we'll just turn it up now. And we'll play the best we've played all season. And like, I mean, I dislike Man United. And then after yesterday, like I really don't like them anymore. Like I just can't. Old Trafford is just such a hoodoo for us. We just can't seem to get over the line. And yeah, it just a really, really frustrating performance. And you know, like you just said, then Everton did us such a favour. Like Newcastle got through after losing, and ultimately goal difference cost us, which we knew was going to be a problem. So we just to be honest with you, when I look at the season as a whole, I look at Man City, I look at Newcastle. They deserved it. We haven't been good enough in games. You look at the two Ipswich games.
We don't deserve it.
Yeah. So yeah, I just thought from start to finish the system wasn't right. The players, not one of them played well. Like I think I saw Kamara make like one exception, and maybe he may have.
Been... Matthew Cash, he was really poor as well. I mean, John McGinn had a bad guy.
Onana,
the whole team.
Yeah, they just couldn't string a pass together. Like, we had no midfield. Like, Man United seemed to have the absolute joy of the pitch. And there seemed to be a massive gap in the middle. And we were just standing off. There was no cohesion. There was no passing through the lines. I don't think I saw Pau Torres make a pass through to Rodgers or McGinn once. Like, I didn't see anything. Watkins was awful.
We sat back.
Yeah.
It was all too relaxed today, I think. It looked like they weren't bothered, but they weren't even trying.
I think, yeah. I mean, I think they were bothered. I think what it was, what it probably looked like, Chad, was that they were just super nervous. They just looked like... So, like, you know, when you're nervous, you sort of, like, you go within yourself a bit. I think they all went a bit within themselves and were in their own shells and were just scared to, like... No one was, like, asking for the ball, calling for the ball, like, taking charge of the game and...
No communication.
Yeah, another one, no communication. I thought like the set pieces as well. We had a couple of corners. I thought, you know, because I mean, look, the way we set up, it was going to have to be a bit of a smash and grab. So set pieces were going to be important, like make the most of them. Shocking. Just to the first man, headed away. And like, I thought the system was bad. I thought Watkins... We were trying to use Watkins as a target man, as like a hold to play. Like, that wasn't working.
Watkins, he was completely isolated.
Yeah.
And where was Morgan Rodgers? He was nowhere to be seen, Rodgers.
Because he's put out on the right. Like, yeah.
Okay. And of course, I know we had that refereeing decision, which we will come to. But I'm not going to come in here and use that as an excuse.
Agreed.
Yeah, the guy might have been different. But still, the way we play, we might have lost anyway.
Yeah, look, it's all hindsight, isn't it? And I know we'll touch on it shortly. But yeah, I'm the same as you. Like, I don't want to use that as an excuse because even if we had, if that goal had stood, that's great. But then, you know, we don't know what would have happened. And I mean, look, a draw would have been enough. So at least you've got a 1-0 lead. And if you can hold on to that or we concede like later on, it's not too bad because we've got something to hold on to. But yeah, I mean, that's another conversation. But first and foremost, our performance was just... I mean, Man United could have had about 4 or 5 in the first half. They hit the bar, or they hit the post about 4 times.
Quite easily, yeah.
Yeah, it was... Sorry, you might have a bit of a structure for this. How you want to go through? I've sort of just been... throwing names under the bus there, sorry.
Man United, they play like the team that wanted Champions League football. You would have thought it would have been the other way around.
Yeah. Well, I guess we had our question answered, didn't we? Because I remember we were saying, do we think it's better if Man United win the Europa League or they don't win? And you look at Spurs' result, they got battered by Brighton because they're in party mode after winning the Europa. And it sort of feels like, if Man United won the Europa League, maybe we would have been against a much different team. But
we can do it next season. You can do a Spurs, like win the Europa League.
I mean, hopefully, look, it's Emery's competition, and as well, you know, that's a good segue into this chat, because I think it does show how far we've come. We're gutted that we're not in the Champions League, but if you said at the start of the season, you'll go deep into competitions of the Champions League, FA Cup, and then you'll get Europa League.
Europa League, you'll take that.
I think we would have taken it. So, like, I think it's just because it was so close, and we sort of played our way into the position, and then at the final hurdle to fall, it's just gut-wrenching. But, you know, on the positive side, Europa League's not a bad competition, and it's something that we could feasibly win. So we'll see.
And also, let's talk about Emi Martinez. What was he thinking? And also, Matty Cash. I mean, that back pass, if it wasn't for that back pass, it wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, I have to blame Cash for that one. And look, you know, me and you are big Matty Cash fans, and we've constantly come on here and we've defended him. But yesterday they were all awful, but he was really bad. And I've read some things online that, you know, people have sort of said that, well, maybe there's a reason that he cuts back and passes back. Maybe Emery's told him to do that. But I'm sorry, but when you're a professional footballer, and sometimes you've got to take matters into your own hands. And if you've got the ball there, you're on your weaker foot, you've got to think about it. You've got to think, right, I need to really put a bit of juice on this because it's my weaker foot. Martinez has got to get it. Or just don't play it back. Like, I don't care if Emery's told you to play it. Think, you know what, this is a bit dangerous. You've got to assess it better. And Matty Cash's decision-making yesterday was just, like a lot of them were, it was just so poor.
But what it is, he put his teammates in trouble.
Yeah. And I don't really blame Martinez. Like, I do. Obviously, he
did. A little bit, yeah.
But I just feel like he probably, in the moment, he just thought, oh, no, like, I need to, like, maybe he didn't realise how far over Højlund was. Because if he just sort of, like, tried to shepherd him out, I don't think Højlund would have done too much. But it's easier said than done when you're in the moment, isn't it? So,
well, it's Martinez. Maybe he should have... Maybe not come up too far, maybe. It's the only thing I probably would say. Not the goal, maybe. Maybe you just misjudged it, maybe.
I think so, yeah. I think there's a bit of misjudgment from his part. I do think Matty Cash was to blame. And look, if that is to be Martinez's last game, then it's a hell of a way to go, isn't it? So, I mean, we'll see now, because I don't know
what... A horrible way to finish your last game, if it is.
I know, and then it just put us under, because like whatever game plan we had was then out the window because we were down to 10 men and we had to alter things, and Asensio comes off, and then obviously we've got to bring Olsen in, and it was just a bit of a mess, wasn't it, really, from then, really. So
it's something out of nightmares, really, isn't it?
Yeah, Old Trafford, the theatre of nightmares. Yeah, yeah.
So let's talk about the referee decision then.
Yeah.
So the only thing is absolutely appalling by the referee. He was too quick to blow his whistle. And this is something that has happened a few times the last few seasons. And I think it might have happened to us a couple of seasons. And I think that only me, I think it didn't help but us.
Yeah. Are you referring to the time, was it the Palace game? Crystal Palace away.
Yes, it was. Yeah, that was it. Yep.
I was actually at that game, and that was VAR's first season. I think it was our first season back in the Prem, and it was that was a shocking decision. But yesterday, I mean, I've said it on here before. I think the standard of refereeing and officiating is awful in the Premier League, and. Look, if players, managers can have criticism, then so can referees and the standards that we hold them to. And I think for the best league in the world, for the most watched league in the world, the officiating needs to be like 100 times better. I just think it's poor. Yeah. And I know Villa have released a statement that they've written to the PGMOL and they're going to they've asked for the, you know, the sort of asking questions why we had such an inexperienced referee, but it's not going to go anywhere. You know, I know they've sort of got to do it just for protocol, but it's not going to go anywhere. And it was just very disappointing because that decision alone, it was 0-0. And if we were one,
it could have been different. I mean, it could have been different, though. But
it really could have. And so it's the ramifications that it has. And it's just, again, I think for me, it just highlights how poor the officiating is and how inconsistent it is. So I couldn't get my head around it. I still can't.
Because it doesn't cost us just the Champions League. The ramifications for an actually as well. It always thought VAR was there for decisions in the big moments in important games.
I know, and VAR, like, it was there, but they turned around and said, we can't actually do anything because he blew the whistle before he put the ball in the net.
Right, yeah.
So their hands were tied. And like you say, the ramifications are, we're not in the Champions League. Yes, we're in the Europa League, but then it has a real big impact on who we can buy and how many we've got to sell. So it's going to be... It's going to be interesting. It's going to be an interesting summer ahead. I don't know who's going to stay. I don't know who's going to go. It looks like Rashford won't be coming now. Not that he definitely was.
He's going to Barcelona, brother.
Yeah, he's put a post out this morning, like a thank you and a farewell to Villa. Really, a really nice post, actually. But it just sort of hints that he won't be coming back.
Yeah.
And then Boubacar Kamara, there's a contract on the table, but I was hearing that he was only going to sign if we get Champions League. So I don't know what that means for him now. Then obviously Martinez, Watkins and all that.
Martinez is future and Watkins.
So yeah, so that one decision. Yeah, it is, mate. And that one decision's really affected how we sort of play that summer now. So shocking. What did you think of it when you saw it and how did you react to it? Did you understand what happened at first? Were you confused? Because I was confused.
I'll check it again, yeah. But I'll just hit the referee. He was too quick to blow his whistle. The thing is, Rodgers put it in the net. But I don't think there was anything wrong with that goal. And it all seems typical as well, but like, it's always at Old Trafford.
I know.
He must have been a Man United fan.
Yeah, it's almost like he just crumbled under the pressure of refereeing at Old Trafford and just decided to give what was a crazy decision. Because even in real time, when we were watching it looked completely legit, it looked fine, and then it was just compounded when they were going through the replays and it zoomed in and it was like, that is such a bad decision. I don't know.
It's appalling.
Really, really, really was. And I think Emery, I've never seen Emery.
Oh, he was absolutely furious.
Yeah, he was furious. He was so animated. And then, he followed him down the tunnel at the end of the game, didn't he? I don't know if you saw that. And I think Monchi and Bidigani had to come on and sort of hold him back. I don't think he was, like, going for him, but I think he was just talking to him. But I think they were sort of like, let's pull you back just in case you say something that you regret. And rightfully so, man. Like, you want answers? Like, what was the decision about?
I think the penalty decision, that was the right decision, that penalty. Matson, there's no need for Matson to do that to Amma. He stuck his leg out at the wrong time.
Yeah.
That was a right decision, but that was the only one that he got right, really.
I think I have to agree with you on that. I think initially when I saw it, you know, Ahmad sort of runs into him. You know, he's fast, Ahmad. But, yeah, he definitely clips him in the box. Like, it was a penalty. And it was clumsy. It was unfortunate, but it was clumsy. And, yeah, I think that was the right decision. And sad, really, that I never had confidence in Olsen saving it. Like, I just knew that was 2-0 then. Like, as much as, you know, he steps in when he's needed to, I just thought, yeah, he's not going to save this. And he didn't, so.
well, you know, Ahmad was Man United's best player. I don't think this season, Ahmad's probably been one of their best performers. And he caused us some problems, he did.
Yeah, and you know, I was with my mate and we were watching the game and we actually said before the game, Ahmad's the one to watch. He's the danger man. And I mean, it's annoying that he scored a header. The guy's about 3'2" and he scored a header. Like, it's just, but yeah, he's definitely been their best player all season. He's got a very bright future, I think. I think if they can sort of build a team around him, you know, they'll have a decent future ahead. But yeah, very good. And just annoyingly that we didn't mark him. Well, Matson didn't really mark him.
If you go back to Aston Villa, if we look back in the season, that's where we deserve to be. Last season, we deserved to be in the Champions League. This season, we didn't.
Yeah, you're spot on. I think that like lull that we had in the middle of the season, I know we had some injuries, but when we were sort of like drawing games, losing games, like that middle spell really hit us. And I just look back at those games against Ipswich, yeah. Bournemouth at home, Man United at home, like a 0-0 draw. It really took its toll. Yeah. And even that point that we lost at Man City a few weeks ago, if we just had that point, we'd be there. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not taking our chances as well. I think, and defensively is another thing as well.
Yeah, I do think there's going to be a bit of a, I don't want to say a full-on rebuild, because I don't think we need a massive rebuild. But then again, it depends on PSR and who we've got to get rid of and who comes in. But I mean, right back, I'd keep Cash. Don't get me wrong, I would keep Cash. As like a bit of a just around the squad, I think he's a good squad player, but we need a right back and we need another striker. We do need another striker. I'd keep Watkins, obviously, but we need someone else because he was at his best when he was sort of getting challenged, you know, when Duran was there or Rashford was there, but by himself, I don't know. I mean, yesterday, mate, I love Watkins and I know you do too, but he was bad. And like
his quality, really quiet.
His touch was off. He couldn't hold the ball up. That one time he got through, although he was offside, he just completely ran to the side of the pitch. It's like, mate, where are you going? Like the goal's there.
Hopefully, Monchi does his magic.
That's the other thing. At least we've got a board of directors and chief executives who
are gone. They even got Monchi. That's it. Yep.
They're fairly competent, aren't they? So, yeah, I have faith in wheeling and dealing, but it's just, we'll still attract some players with the Europa League, but it just would have been a lot different with Champions League. And
Europa League it is.
Yeah, and I don't want to sound too entitled. I don't want to sound like Arsenal fans because, you know, we had a really good season in the Champions League. We got in there when we ahead of the time that we should have done, really, and I think we've just got to give ourselves credit and enjoy the journey. But it's just, I think...
So what are your thoughts? Your thoughts securing your Europa League football then? So it's not Champions League. We finished sixth in the league. So what do you... Let me touch it slightly. We're going to go more detail about it.
You know, look, now that I've slept on it, and to be fair, even yesterday, I kept saying to my friend, at least it's not Conference League. I think if it was Conference League, it would have been pretty bad. And then
you would have got Wi-Fi passwords.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good one. So, yeah, I think being positive, Europa League, it's a good competition. Emery has a rich history. I believe he's won it 4 times. So
yes, he's got a great record in that competition.
And, you know, it's a competition with the new format, you know, which we experienced last year in the Champions League. It's something that we can aim to win. It's also another pathway into the Champions League. If our league form is just not at it, we can always try and target that competition. So
the thing is, you got 2 ways to get in the Champions League. You either get top 4 or 5, or win the Europa League.
Yeah,
and get the Champions League that way.
Yeah. And also, like, I think with how good English teams are now, we should be getting that 5th spot most seasons now, really, in Europe. Do you know what I mean? So, look, I think it presents a good opportunity for us to get a trophy and also to, you know, another pathway to Champions League, like you just said. So yes. I'm actually, I think once the dust settles and I have a bit of a break from the Villa and we sort of start that, we get ready for the new season, I do think I'll be a lot more up for it, ready for it. I just think it's just, you know, it was a bit of a sucker punch yesterday, but look, I'm excited. There's always some decent teams in Europa League and there'll be some good away days there. So, yeah, bring it on, man.
There are some real big clubs in the Europa League. I mean, it's a good competition.
It is.
You go back to Martinone era. Was it in that competition before?
Was it called like the UEFA Cup back then or whatever it was?
It was the UEFA Cup then, yeah. It was the UEFA Cup.
Yeah, so I've got no gripes of being in it, and like we said at the start of the season, we would have taken that for sure. I think it was just because we were so close to Champions League. That's why at the minute it feels like, oh, it's a downgrade, but it's winnable. Look, Tottenham have just the final. Look at the final we just witnessed. It was awful. Yes. Two bad teams. So we've got no excuse really to at least get to a semi-final, possibly final.
Yes, there's nothing wrong with the Europa League. The only thing we need to sort out, though, I think, is the mentality, I think. Because if we want to win the Europa League, we need to show up in those big moments.
I think you are bang on the money, mate. I think, and like we said, like we touched on at the start of the show, you know, those big games where it's mattered, our mentality's not been there. So whether that means that players just aren't up for it, they need to go, or whether that means Emery's got to try and come at them from a different angle, it's definitely something that needs to be worked on. And you like to think now that with these games that we've lost, that's just experience to these players now. Like we've experienced these losses. We sort of know what the pressure's like in big games. We're going to be a bit more well-equipped for it, you would like to think. But it definitely needs to be sorted out, because otherwise we'll be back at the same place again if we get to a semi-final, final, you know. So I agree.
Because I would think we're very lucky that we're not in the conference league, because you look at the results. I mean, say Forest won and Newcastle won the one, we would have been in that conference league. And imagine how more disappointed that would have felt.
Mate, I'm telling you now, we were where I was watching it, we had there was the script, the Villa on, and then right next to it was the Forest Chelsea game. And Forest right at the end. I mean, they played decent. I thought they were quite good throughout the game. They had a few chances. Chelsea defended very well. But it could have easily been a draw. And then we would have been in the Conference League, and that would have been a disaster, I think. That would have been a disaster. But we're not in there, so thankfully we don't need to think about it too much. But Europa League, here we come.
But we'll look at Aston Villa as a football club. I think for me, we're at least Champions League or Europa League. That's the level where we should be at the minimum, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, mate, that's a really good way of putting it. I think it shows how far we've come, and I don't want to sound entitled that we deserve Champions League. We need to be there, because we didn't deserve it this season. It's just, I think you're spot on. It's the levels that we're at now. We should be, you know, competing and getting into these places every season. So the fact that it's our third season in a row, we've now been in every single European competition.
Emery loves Europe.
He really does. He really does. And it shows massive progress. So the only thing that's missing for Emery, like, is a trophy. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's the only thing that's missing for him. Because, like, he's already a legend in my eyes. But if he really wants to compound that, gets that trophy, he'll go down in Villa history as, like, the greatest ever manager, like, arguably. Do you know what I mean? If he gets one of these trophies.
That's what we need to get that off our back.
Yeah, he really does. So... yeah, I do think come start of the next season, depending on how we do transfer wise, I'll be ready, and Europa League, bring it on. Thursday nights.
Next season, we have a good crack at the Champions League for next season. We go again.
We go again. Yeah, you're right, mate. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk about then. So yesterday, Austin Villa debuted a new away kit. So what do you make of Austin Villa's your away kit?
I like it. I saw the launch. Well, like I saw, you know, that the shop opened up, and I saw a few things on Twitter and X people posting the kit and stuff. And I thought, looking at it yesterday, it looked good. I mean, yeah. I don't know if we should ever wear it again after yesterday's performance, but it looks nice. It's smart, you know. It's very, very, very clean, simple. I think it's a bit of a money making exercise, which is fine, you know, to sort of get fans to buy some more merch before the to sort of maybe help with the finances slightly. But it looks okay, mate. What about you? Will you be getting it, or?
I think I've been getting it, and I think I'll get Yuri Tielemans on the back.
Lovely.
I'm sure that he's staying, I think.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to be careful with who. You sort of have to sort of wait a bit just to see who's going to be there and who's not. I do think Tielemans will stay. I think you're right. But you never know. I didn't think Diaby would go last season, and he did. So, yes. You know, he...
Well, I don't like the shirt. I think it's very authentic, I think. I think it's very stylish, I think.
Yeah. Can you remember the last time we had a black kit?
I was going to say, not 2021, I think.
Yeah.
You know, the season where with Dean Smith.
Yeah.
With Jack Grealish.
Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. And if you remember, the game that sticks out for me is Arsenal away, and we battered them. I think it might have been, was it 2-0, 3-0? And Watkins, yep. I think Watkins got a couple of goals, and Grealish played amazingly well. So yeah, that was the last black kit, I'm pretty sure, other than the 150th anniversary kit that we had. That was the last black kit. So yeah, it looks nice, mate. So I think Tielemans is a good shout.
Yes, does it go for number 8? That's it, the number 8 shirt.
Yeah, potentially our future captain, maybe, who knows.
Yes. I want to talk about the new shirt and kit as well. I love the blue Adidas stripes.
Yeah.
Like, it really makes it sort of like stand out for me.
Yeah, I agree. I like that. It's all like the same blue as our home kit, isn't it? So it looks very smart, it looks very sleek. It's Adidas as well, so you know it's gonna be a smart looking kit. I'm very excited to see what the home kit's going to be like this season, because I think now Adidas have had a bit more time. I know last season it was a bit rushed, wasn't it? Because the deal was a bit of a last minute deal because the Castor kits were so bad. So I'm excited to see what the home kit looks like. Albeit there won't be a Champions League badge on it, but you know, it's okay.
Yeah, because I think as well with the new kit, it's real smart way to do it, because usually the home kit comes out first, but we've done it slightly different for most clubs, which is a good way to marketing.
Yeah, no, definitely. And it's unusual for the Villa, because we're always used to our kits dropping really late in the summer, aren't we? Like, we never have our kits. I can't even remember the last time we wore a new kit for next season in the last game. I've never known us do that before. So very clever in for the marketing. I think it was it gets a bit more money through the door with fans buying the kit, and with the boring shop opening as well. There's a lot of merch in there which looks quite good, so fans can buy that. And it was a good way to launch it. It was a bit of a night. It was a nice surprise. Well, I didn't see it come in, so I just saw the kit get dropped, and I was like, "Oh, that's cool. Okay, nice." I think it's hopefully.
You got the bull. You know, put the shirt on the bull. I mean, also
Did you see all the blue noses commenting about it, getting all annoyed?
Yeah, have they got a club shop?
I don't know.
Did the bull ring?
I think they've got a shed. I think they've got a shed somewhere. Maybe a shed. Yeah, no, I saw a few comments on X of Blues fans giving it a bit.
We don't care. The city is ours.
Exactly. I will say though, like I do, I would like them back in the Prem just for the banter and the rivalry. But
they need to.
Until then, they're just irrelevant, aren't they?
Yes. We got the West Brom, you know, and Blues. They're playing for the Championship. I mean, it'd be nice to get them all up, you know, all those teams.
Yeah, I agree. It'd be very good to have that. But I thought having the again, Chris Heck, you know, he knows. Unfortunately, he's leaving, but he knows how to market a brand, doesn't he?
Is he leaving? Is he?
Chris Heck is. Yeah. He's gone, mate. Yeah, he's.
That's a shame.
Yeah, he. I don't know the reason. I heard that maybe he's going to Saudi. And doing the same thing for a Saudi club, which I mean, you know, it's going to be big bucks over there. But I think I know he divides opinion with a lot of Villa fans. I mean, I've not gone to, I only went to one game because obviously I'm over in the States last season. But I know there's a lot of unrest with the ticket prices and stuff, which is fair. However, I do think in terms of marketing, you know, you think about in America in Times Square when he put the posters up and the kit launch, I think the ball ring store, putting the kit on the bull itself, like he was very smart with the marketing strategy. And I think that's something we're going to miss. So hopefully whoever comes in can pick up where he left off. But I do think he'll be a miss in that respect. Yes.
Go on to the promo. Do you know the bit as well? Because I think Reynolds, you know the new kit?
Yeah.
But it's reflective.
Is it?
I don't know if you noticed the picture.
Like on the arms?
They got like a colour of claret. They're looking at this backdrop in the background. I think it sort of reflects off it, I think.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, it's smart. I do think he's done a lot. Like I look at when I went to Villa Park back in December and I was sort of looking around and stuff, there was a few changes that had been made and, you know, trust me, out in the States here, like a lot of people know who Villa are. We were walking back from the game yesterday in Manhattan in the city and a car drove past and because me and my mate were in Villa tops and some American shouted out, oh, whoa, Aston Villa. So people know the badge, they know the colours, so it's definitely
working. Are you going to go to the pre-season tour?
Yeah, I may try. There's one of the games in Nashville. I think we may try and get to. I think in August, just because I haven't done Nashville yet, and I think it'd be quite cool to go. So, I'll try and drag
country music or the country music.
Exactly. Yeah, get the country music on. Get some southern food. I'll try and drag the missus down there as well. See, you know, I took her to the first game a couple of years ago in Philadelphia for the Premier League summer series. So. Yeah, I'll definitely try and get down there and see, support the boys.
It's the third time now, is it? In the last few years. It is, isn't it? Yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah, they were there last season, but I couldn't get to a game because my wife had just given birth, so I couldn't really get away. But this season could be different, so hopefully I'll try and get down there and support them. And then obviously we've got the World Cup over here next year. So it's going to be,
of course, yes,
football mad from next season. It's going to be football crazy over here. Yes. So,
but these are Aston Villa, like you think of like last season, the big billboard, like the big launch of that club shop.
Yeah.
The one in the, is it not Sports Store? Is it in New York?
They did it in JD.
That's it.
Adidas shop,
yes,
and JD as well. But I think, yeah, there was like Morgan Rogers, Jacob Ramsey. I was so annoyed because I had a baby girl and she's amazing. But I couldn't get into the city to go and see the team because like I would have gone there to try and, you know, just get a few pictures and stuff. But no, again, goes back to Chris Heck and he's and marketing us, you know, globally and putting us in Times Square and getting us on the billboard. It was incredible to look at. So, you know, and if we want to be up there with the likes of Man United, Liverpool, City, these are the sort of things that we have to do. And that's why the Champions League was not getting into it again was such a big blow, just for sort of that global recognition again. But, you know, Europe is Europe. And the fact that we're there again for the third time in a row, people will know who we are and we'll
continue. Well, the thing is, for eventually, they're really hurt with the revenue because obviously we're not in the Champions League. So being in the Europa League, like, you still get the reward, but not as high as the Champions League. So merchandise is very important.
Correct. Yeah, it gives us that. It gives us another another revenue, just like a stream, like an income stream coming in, which is important. And that's how like these big clubs survive. And that's why Man United and Liverpool are such global brands, because you know you can go to anywhere in the world and there'll be a Liverpool top or a Man United top, and there's always merchandise that's getting bought.
Yep.
So that's where we want to get to. And the fact that we're trying to crack America is a big one, because sport over here, or football over here, is growing. And with the World Cup coming up, it's a really good time to try and get yourselves in there. So,
but I've got some real great friends, like, but also, you know, like the New York, you know, you got the California Lions.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, there's a lot of great fan bases in America. Just get Aston Villa, it's getting more of them up.
There really is, mate. And where I was yesterday, I was in that bar, and it's a football bar. So there's fans of all teams in there, and there's a lot of Villa fans, a lot of Claret and Blue in there, which is great to see. And you're speaking to people from, you know, from obviously some from America, some are tourists who are over here and wanted to watch the game. But it's just it's great to see that the effect that Villa has on fans across the world, and how they reach out to them and stuff. So yeah, we're definitely going in the right direction with it.
Yes. One thing to touch on as well. The new away kit, it's just like the 150th anniversary. The same colour, it's black. Just like the 150th anniversary kit.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I do think it's... yeah, I do like any black kit that we've had that I can remember always looks smart, and it's, you know, just hopefully we perform better in it than we did yesterday.
Was it really a great start in the new kit?
Wasn't the greatest starts made, no. But, you know, new season, fresh start, new season, new kit. We'll go again.
So I'll come to my last point there.
Yeah.
So me and you, we talk team of the team.
Yes.
Everyone can get involved in the comment section. Please let me know in the comments what you think is Aston Villa's team of the season. So me and Aaron do one, so I'll get mine on the screen first. So there's a team that I've gone with. So Emi Martinez in goal.
Yeah.
And there's Matty Cash.
Yeah.
Right back. Then I've got the centre-backs. I've got Ezri Conser and Tyrone Mings. Then I've got Ian Matson at left back. Then we've got a double pivot. We've got Bimikar Kamara and Yuri Tielemans. Then we've got Marcus Rashford on the right wing. We have McGinn on the left.
Yeah.
With Morgan Rogers in the number 10 role. On the strike, and obviously then I've got Ollie Watkins up front.
That's so, a great
What do you think? I just like it, yeah?
I really like it. No, sorry, go on.
What do you think? So, all the positions. Are you happy with that team, do you think?
I'm very happy with that team. It's funny because I don't think there's a couple of players in there that I haven't got, which I wanted, but I was basing it on sort of like, I don't know, the season as a whole and who sort of was consistent. But I'm actually regretting a couple of my decisions now. But I think like attacking wise, and that's the thing I love about this team, and which Emery didn't do enough of, was having Rashford out wide, Rodgers in the middle, and Watkins up top. I think that would have been such a dangerous combination. But he kept putting Rashford up top and dropping Watkins. And I think how you've got it there would have been so much better. There's a case that Onana could have been in there. But like to get McGinn in, Tielemans, Kamara, I think on balance, mate, that's a very, very good squad. I like that a lot. Yes.
Well, two of the reasons that Matty Cash, to me, I think he's more consistent there. He's our best right back.
Yeah.
I mean, defensively and getting forward.
Yeah.
He's always like on a touch on it. Then you got Tyrone Mings. I don't think he's better defensively because it hasn't been a coincidence that we've kept more clean sheets with Mings in the team this season.
Yeah.
Then Ian Matson, I think, with him in left back, he gives a better option going forward. I do like Digne, but I think consistently he's been our best left back, Matson.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you judge it for the second half of the season.
Yeah.
Then also Marcus Rashford, when he saw the dinner, he's been a big impact.
Since he got
I think if it wasn't for him, I think they might have been lower down in the table. I think Rashford's one of those players who has changed the season for us, I think.
Yeah, fair. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, but everyone, let me know at home what you think. But no, I'm going to get your team, Aaron. I'm going to get your team on the screen.
Okay.
You're going for this. So you got the Martinez in goal, obviously Martinez.
Obviously.
You got the Matty Cash right back.
Yeah.
Your two centre backs, you got the Edry Concert.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Torres.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got Luka Dean.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got Bimbo Kamara, Yuri Tielemans.
Yeah.
Then on the right you got McGinn. Then you got Rodgers, the striker.
Yeah.
You got Jacob Ramsey.
Yeah.
On Watkins. So what's the reason behind your team?
I think you made a really good point. So like with your team, like you said, if you were sort of you looked a lot towards the second half of the season. And I think my team probably reflects more of the first half. So if we sort of like forget the middle bit where we had a bit of a lull, I remember the start that we had. And so you're very much the end on the start. And I think, so Cash, for similar reasons to you, I think he's our only notable right back. He hasn't been as awful as people think. And I think defensively, getting forward, he's been okay. Konda speaks for himself. So Pau Torres, before the injury, I thought he was pretty pivotal in, you know, I think about the Bayern Munich game at home. I think about just how consistent he was up until that injury. And then coming back, I do agree with you. I thought Mings was better. But I just thought like in the bigger games, like the PSG game at home, I thought Power played. I just thought in those moments, he may have edged slightly. That was real. But I mean, I'm a big Mings fan, but that was the reason. Again, Luka Dean, first half of the season. I remember coming on here at one point saying, I think Dean has been our best player up until this point. So I do think he played a big part in how we finished. Matson, though, coming in and definitely will take that spot next season, I think. Although yesterday he wasn't good. But so that's my thinking for the back line. Kamara, Tielemans and the pivot, obviously. We know what they do. We
it's
know
obvious, yeah. Yeah, it's
important. I had to get McGinn in, either the left or the right. But because I got Jacob Ramsey, I thought Jacob Ramsey, you know, he scored on his Champions League debut. I thought he'd come back from injury, looked very sharp. I thought, especially when Rashford came in as well, I thought when Rashford was up top and Ramsey was on the left, I thought Ramsey was playing really well. So that could have easily been Rashford or him, but I went for Jacob. And then obviously...
It was Ramsey, I think the only thing I didn't choose him, because of his injuries. If it wasn't for the injuries, I might have chosen him.
Yeah, I think my issue is I would have Rashford. I was very close to putting Rashford in, but I was like, he's not been there that long. But then you made a good point. You know, it doesn't really matter because the impact that he made when he was there was pretty sensational. And he, you know, he was probably a big part, like you said, why we finished so strongly. And I think it could have easily been him. And obviously Watkins up top and Rodgers in behind is obvious. I think Rodgers on the right doesn't work, but in behind is a lot more of a threat, especially the start of the season. Think about that Arsenal game that we lost at home, but he was sensational. And the Man City game at home where we won, he was sensational again. So, and then my notable mentions, Rashford we've spoken about. Asensio, sort of similar to Rashford, I thought, you know, made a good impact and could have made...
When he first came in, he played really well, Asensio.
Yeah,
he went for a bit of a bad patch then, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, so I just thought I'd put him there as a mention. And then Onana, I've sort of think he's had an okay first season. I think he's definitely is adapted to Emery's way. I think we'll see a lot more from him next season, but he didn't quite make the cut in the midfield. John Duran, obviously, I thought, you know, if he hadn't left, it'd probably be him instead of Watkins, but because obviously he's not there anymore. But I think he was a big part, especially in the Champions League. He got us some really important goals, and I could not mention him. And obviously Tyrone Mings, as you said, it was very close to going in, but I went for Power in the end. But Mings has been solid since he's come back. So I think we've both got teams of two halves of the season, if that makes sense.
I think they're both great teams, I think. In the season review, I'm going to get more on discussion with a few of the other podcasters.
Nice.
See what they think on Thursday's episode.
Great. Oh, yeah, great.
To get your opinion as well.
Yeah.
I've also got an Ask Like a Villa Forever podcast exclusive. For next season, I've got a bit of different content.
Ooh.
So, on the weekly recaps of the match preview episodes, I'll be doing predictive lineups every week, as well as the opposition as well.
Oh, man, that's wicked. That's really cool.
So, it's a new element which I'm going to bring to next season.
Oh, brilliant, man. That'll
also
be really good.
Also, everybody, in the comment section, please let me know what your team is. We'd love to hear yours as well. But yeah, but I really enjoyed this final weekly recap.
Same, mate. Thank you for having me. It's a shame that it sort of ended on a loss, but like you've said, in the positive manner, it's Europa League. It's something to fight for. It should make next season very interesting. So I'm looking forward to it. And just thank you for having me on this season, because it's been a pleasure to be on the reviews and to meet so many wonderful people. So thank you for that.
Aaron, we've done so many of these. Was it the back end of was it last year now? We've done quite a few, haven't we now?
Yeah, I think you reached out, and the first one, do you know what? It must have been back in, I want to say, maybe it's end of October, start of November, yeah. And then, yeah, from like sort of November, it's just been, it's been an absolute pleasure. Like, it's been my favourite part of the week, if I'm being honest. So I love every minute of doing it with you, and it's just great content that you put out there, and it's really good insight into the Villa, mate. So thank you.
And you are a great asset to the Villa Forever podcast.
Ah, thanks, man.
And also, looking forward to seeing more of the football brief in the new season.
Yeah, hopefully we'll be back. We've had a few, there's been a bit of a few personal issues with my co-host, which he's had to sort out. So he's not been able to jump on. Yeah. So hopefully by the start of next season, we'll be back and up and running. So that should be something to watch out for. So thank you.
Well, before we finish, I'll just have a quick look at some comments before we finish. See if everyone's tuned into this. Yes, so we've got Kevin Newey. I can't forgive the players for not leaving everything on the pitch.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree about that.
I agree there, Kevin. They, yeah, it was a, yeah, they were shocking.
Yeah, then we got DXR. I feel so bad for Aston Villa.
Thanks, mate. Yeah.
Yeah, also my dad's tuned again. He's my biggest fan.
Hey, Tony. What up, Tony? Shout out.
That's a shout out to Dad, yeah. Dad in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And also, one more thing before we finish. So after Thursday's episode, we'll be taking the 1 hour summer break. An 8 week break of 1 hour.
You deserve it, mate.
Because there's been a lot of games this season.
I know.
You just get a break from it.
There's going to be even more next season, mate. So get yourself rested and ready to go. Have you got much plans? Are you just going to be? Are you going to be sort of tuning
into? Just a good day's out.
Okay, nice.
I do that. I don't say. Well, I'm not doing anything. I'm going to be doing some impromptu content. So I'll be doing video vlogs. So after the country in the summer, I'll be doing the end of season diaries, which is just going to be video vlogs, showing everyone what I'll get up to at the end of the football season. So there'll be a lot of days out. And also, I think it's good for the awareness of Duchesne.
Yeah.
So you can all see me on the end of season diaries. You'll see what I get up to.
Oh, man, that'll be great. I look forward to tuning into that, man. That'll be really good.
Well, thank you, Aaron. Well, thank you, everyone, for watching. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe if you haven't. Make sure to hit the like button. Make sure to smash the likes. Make sure to give it a share. And if you're listening by audio, make sure to leave us a good review on Spotify, Apple, or Amazon. That always helps. Also, let me know your thoughts in the comment section. Thank you so much, Aaron, for your time.
Thank you for having me.
I'm going to wrap up the episode with Villa Forever and Away Villa.